Welcome to the Happy Place podcast. I'm Rina, your host. I'm a Shibari artist, tantric body worker, former dominatrix, and extreme sports athlete. I guide people to their core, creating safe spaces for healing and self-discovery. Since childhood, I've challenged societal norms. Through extreme sports, tantra, unconventional sexuality, and psychedelics, I've discovered profound truths. This podcast is for seekers like me, exploring meaning and spiritual illumination in the midst of life's intensity. Get ready to be inspired, amazed, and transformed as we unravel the mysteries of the happy place.
Let's unravel the knots between rope scene and rope practice. And let's get tied up in the details, shall we? It's definitely worth exploring and understanding these two types of rope experiences. As a Shibari rigger who practices professionally as well as loves to play and explore in my lifestyle, I find that there are many different rigors and different reasons for exploring rope bondage. And yet these two type of directions are quite opposite and yet quite crucial. I find that rope scenes and rope practices are like yin and yang, or masculine and feminine, when it comes to rope explorations. And every rigger needs to have room and space and partner for both of those experiences. And at the same time, it's good to have certain boundaries and clarity about them, because it's just too easy to blend them and have certain misattunement, misunderstandings, and kind of come to a place when there is no clear 100% rope scene, because it's all rope practice. And there can be times when there is also rope practice that gets to be blended and mixed in rope scenes. And in my experience and my explorations, I find that it's important to separate these two and yet devote certain time for each one of them, as they both are very crucial. They are two sides of the same coin, and they are what really makes you great at the art of tying. So let me share one of my personal experiences that can give you a little glimpse of what I'm talking about, in case you are trying to guess what's the difference between rope scene and rope practice. So it was a play party, and that play party was dedicated to Shibari and rope bondage. And I was excited to tie, to get tied up. They gave us certain demonstrations. And then someone volunteered to tie me up, and I was excited to receive. And as he started to tie me, I kind of got quickly bored, because I felt like a mannequin, like someone is just involved in knots and getting like entangled in ropes and just doing something, and I'm not really connected, and I was craving connection. And I decided to give him a prompt to kind of indicate that, hey, I want to feel you. So I literally said that, I don't feel you, I want to feel you. And he was not really sure how to understand this, and he continued doing what he was doing. And then I finally said again, like, I would love to explore the connection with you. And he wasn't sure what to do with this either. So eventually I had to suggest him to switch the roles so I can share with him what I mean on the other side. And when I started tying him, I was going on autopilot with rope. I wasn't really thinking what I'm doing. Like, I was just wrapping his body. And the way I was doing it was really involving certain level of attunement, certain level of expression, certain level of emotion. Then he was like, aha, I get what you're saying. Wow, okay, I see what you mean. And this can give you an idea of what is this difference between rope scene and rope practice, because rope scene or rope session or rope play is all about connection to a human, like using ropes as a means to connection to someone and prioritizing connection. It can be different type of connection. It can be sexual, it can be very spiritual, or it can be very edgy and playful and wild and artistic, you name it. But there is a certain connection between humans, and that's the priority of play, is to really express yourself as a rigger, and for the other person is to fully receive and express themselves back. While rope practice is technical, it's about rope itself, which means this is where we are focusing on certain harnesses we are learning, on certain ways rope is brought to perfection, like certain subtleties about certain ties, certain practices around like how tight you have the rope, like what is the tension, are there layers overlaying one another, or the clean, basically polishing up your style, cleaning it up, making it better, making it more safe, technically speaking, right? Making it more precise, making it more beautiful, like really making sure that your rope skills are flowing well and are really on autopilot. So at some point, that's the ideal goal, when you are so good at tying that you are really not in need to think about how you do this anymore. You're entirely it's at ease with that, and that's the end goal of this exploration. So there are rope practice events where people get together and practice certain technical skills, and there are different rope munches, rope get together, where there are different purposes of practice, and there are also play parties, kink events. So often these places are not really defining the nature of interaction between practitioners, whether they focus on ropes or not. The only time when it's really explained, I guess, and clear is when there is a lesson, when someone is learning some new ties, some new techniques of tying, some new harnesses, some new suspensions. So this is when it's clear that we are going to use this person as a rope bunny, because we need someone on whom we can practice certain techniques and ties. But other than that, it's usually not really emphasized. And I definitely burned myself a few times on certain misattunements, miscommunications, and times when this wasn't really clear, because I definitely need both in my life as a rope rigger. And sometimes there is a space for a journey, right? That's another synonym. We have rope journey, we have rope scene, we have rope session, and rope play. These are quite synonymous. You can also add rope ceremony, and you can come up with some more synonyms if you like. And these are clearly indicating an interaction between humans, that interaction which is priority. So now that I'm speaking about it, let me give you a little more idea of what it can look like when interaction is really a priority. So first of all, what really helps to get into the mood of the scene is creating an atmosphere, like putting on the music, getting dressed up in a certain way, changing the lights, having some kind of ritual to connect with your partner, talking about intention of this experience, navigating about your consent and boundaries and communication agreements, how you're going to breathe in this practice, will you be speaking or not, how you will be navigating certain challenges in this experience, and so on. Then, of course, intentionality is really huge here. Like, why are we playing? What do we want? And for whom this play, right? Is it the rigger who wants to explore their edges and just make it fun for them? Or is it for the rope bunny who wants to have a certain journey, certain experience? In my work, I offer rope scenes or rope journeys, and these are entirely focused and directed towards the one being tied. And I take a good care of this person. I want to get to know them really well. I want to ask them many questions beforehand. about their prior experience, their physical, emotional, sexual limitations, and their intention, why they're doing this, their communication style, if it's easy for them to communicate their emotions, speak up their boundaries. So all of this is a preparation for a scene, because scene is something that touches on many levels. It's not just a technical experience. It's not just a physical body getting tied up. The beauty of Shibari and the soul, the heart of Shibari, is an opportunity to expand the level of connection. It's an opportunity to go beyond form, beyond our identities, and connect on a deeper level, connect as a space and surrender, connect as two vulnerable humans navigating this experience called life, connect as archetypes, because we can channel certain archetypes as we are connecting with one another, connect in a state of flow, and connect as two children playing with one another. There can be different levels, but the point is to emphasize connection, which requires certain courage and vulnerability at the same time. You know, it's the courage to expose your vulnerability. So it's a rigor, it's the courage to push certain edges and expose certain feelings, like in the heat of play, to just grab your partner and throw them somewhere, like, or, you know, or make some weird, wild animal sound as you're doing this, and breathe really heavily, right? Or even vent some words as you do it, and have some kind of abrupt flow where you might be moving in a wave of the ocean, and then all of a sudden you just jerk your rope and then everything just becomes really like, really like sudden and interrupted. So it's like, but it takes certain courage to expose it, because that can be your authentic expression of the moment, and you just expose yourself through doing something that can be really artistic and surprising and wild and weird, right? And similarly, for a person being tied, it's the similar permission to vent whatever has been there, to shout, to cry, to expose emotions, expose a certain facial expression, expose shivering and trembling and shaking, expose their fears and expose their fantasies, their shame, their desires. So it brings partners into expansion, exploration, and vulnerability of exposing multitude of levels of being human. And that's the beauty of rope scene. It's that artistry, right? Because another way to describe rope scene is the art. It's less of a craft, it's more of an art, right? This is where your artist comes through, and this is where certain altered states of consciousness are possible. And this is what expands us from being this limited human with limited life and identity into something far greater and bigger. While rope practice is practicing your craft, is actually getting attuned with rope itself. When rope becomes your second nature, like walking, when you get your skills on autopilot, when you're technically precise. And from what I'm knowing, at least from what I'm seeing around, there is no end to perfecting your skills. I haven't seen masters who feel that they have complete their skill. There is always more to learn. There is always more to refine. Like even my amazing mentor, Tati Leimati, who I admire so highly, she has so much experience in rope, and she is so multidimensional, skillful and wise and technically precise and artistically making things so beautiful. And I've seen her learning and picking up some new skills and being able to learn something new and then share it with her students again. So that's the beauty of rope practice. It's a never-ending process of refining and perfecting your skill. It's about honoring safety in rope containers. It's about honoring precision in rope containers. It's about honoring speed, because when you are tying someone, especially if it involves suspension, like, time is ticking. You have to be fast. You cannot take too much time figuring out something, because someone's hands are getting already numb. And one position, which can be beautiful if it only lasts a few minutes, can become devastating if it lasts twice as long. So it's important to learn the skill of being really fast. And there are many different ways to continue perfecting your rope skill. And it's very important to dedicate time for this. So now, why is it so important to differentiate these two? Well, because in the heat of rope practice, you might get distracted by your partner, because they might still be experiencing certain kind of vulnerability and emotion. And then all of a sudden you're in a character and you're playing with them, and then you are distracted and you are no longer in your practice mode where you know your primary focus. So what I'm trying to say here is, you are most effective when you are very intentional and when you are really sticking to your intention. If your intention to perfect your hip harness, then really focus on that and communicate this with your partner, that today my day is to practice this hip harness. I want to make sure I can do it in 3 minutes. I might use my timer. I want to make sure it's really looking perfect, and I will need your body for that. And this is when, you know, you're clear about this. And if you're going deeper into some challenging body positions, intense experience and suspension, for example, then this is when you need your partner's feedback, because exactly in rope practice, you can actually get constructive feedback from your partner, and they can share, like, hey, my weight not really distributed so perfectly. Like, just not long ago, I had a rope practice experience, and right there, I was practicing tying someone's hair to a suspension. And because my practice partner was another rigger, especially, and she knew that we are not doing a scene, we are practicing, she told me, like, oh, I like when my hair is pulled, but it's not really distributed evenly. And then there was a moment I realized, hey, wait a minute, perhaps I've done it a lot in my rope scenes. But because in the rope scenes, we are floating in our characters, in the altered states of consciousness, in our emotions, and it's not really accustomed to give feedback around technique when, you know, someone is having a journey, someone is having like LSD-like or MDMA-like experience, they're not so concerned if their hair tie is not distributed evenly. And this is exactly why you need rope practice, because that's when you can get this feedback about distribution of tension or over your body, especially in suspension, or how comfortable this harness is, how can it be done better so it's more perfect and comfortable, and different safety moments and so on. Then going into rope scene, I find that it can be so disappointing if I show up for a rope scene. I want to play with someone, and then I'm just not a human. Like, they just use my body for their rope practice. And, you know, if it would be clearly defined that today we are doing rope practice, I get it. That's what I'm here for. But when actually I showed up for a different experience, I showed up to connect, I showed up for someone to feel me, to be felt, to express themselves, to transfer certain love, certain affection, certain emotion, certain desire to me through ropes. And then they just completely disregard me, and they are just dealing with some rope situation and not really there for me. And that can feel quite disappointing, because there is a different expectations. And also it feels like cheating a bit when actually we showed up together for a rope journey, a rope scene, and then they are exploring some new harness on me, and they just practicing again and again and tying and untying and retying. While what really makes sense when you are offering a rope journey, a rope scene to someone, is to do something you feel certain confidence with, right? Unless you are some top-notch rigger who can just make up new harnesses, new ties on the go and feel so much confidence because there's just so much experience. If you are that kind of rigger, great. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. There are only a few of you guys like this in the world. And as I imagine, most of you are not on that level. And that means that you better use something that you are most comfortable with. Use some ties and techniques and ways of tying that you have practiced already a lot, because then you are flowing with rope as one and you are using rope just as natural as you're walking. And this allows so much space for your connection with your partner. And that connection with your partner can deepen and deepen and deepen. And I find that it's the ultimate purpose of rope exploration, to have to use ropes as a means of this deep attunement when two becomes one, when two people are really in a flow, when one is really holding space for the other, when both are having this freedom of total authentic expression on verbal, emotional, physical, mental, energetic, and spiritual levels, on every possible level, with every pore and cell of your being, being able to be true, authentic, and free in this expression and come out transformed, renewed, refreshed, and so relaxed and so deep in harmony and peace on the other side. So this is the two polarities of rope exploration, and I find that it's really important to dedicate, find time for both of them. As a professional rope rigger, for me, it's just too easy to focus on my profession, which is offering rope journeys. But then I'm not growing as a rigger. I'm not improving my skills ultimately, because what I really need is rope practice. So it's like, you know, two wings of a bird. You need to have both of them well developed in order to fly in harmony. So consider that as a rigger, whether you're beginner, intermediate, or advanced, and see how much, what's lacking, what's missing, which wing is shorter, which wing is dragging, which wing feels weaker, and make some time, make room, make space for that one. If there is not enough room for in your life for rope practice because you're constantly playing with rope, make room for that and communicate clearly with your partner so they know what to expect. Maybe if it's some really boring practice, then they can just watch TV while you're tying them, or just talk about something that, you know, I actually have a friend of mine with whom we do occasional rope practice get-togethers. We would get together and we would talk our girly thing, gossip, chit chat a bit, share our stories. And in the meantime, I can still like be there in my rope practice. I can be there to like to tie this knot, make mistake, do something different. And she's not bored. She's just talking to me. And sometimes something beautiful comes out. And then I take her picture like, look, this new harness, it turned out to be so beautiful. Let's try suspension with this. And if she said, oh yeah, let's do that. And then we go for it. And then she can still have like a little miniature journey inside of it, despite of us being cerebral and talking and me being technical and entirely focused on rope, not on her heart and soul, but on rope. Like unapologetically focused is precisely on rope, because I just need to improve my rope skills. And despite of that, she can still have certain experience that can feel really relaxing or releasing or somehow emotionally purging or something like that. She can still derive certain benefits from the experience, which is great. But then the core purpose of our get-together is rope practice. So it's really needed. And other times can be a time for a rope journey, for being able to focus entirely on connection. So consider that. I recommend you not to mix so much these two together, but actually allocate, dedicate, and honor necessary time for both of that, because this is really what makes you an amazing rigger. If you have too much heart expression, too much connection, too much flow, but not enough technical skill, you will make mistakes. Your rope containers will not be safe because your technique is not right. And when your technique is lacking, this is where injuries can happen. And when this is when you will be distracted, you know, no matter how beautiful your soulful connection with your partner is, if your rope integrity is lacking, if your technique is messy, then something sooner or later will go wrong and rope will pull you back into its nets so you can practice a bit more. And then similarly, if you're only dedicating room and space and time for rope practice instead of connecting with your partner, then at some point you'll forget what it's like, or perhaps you're not even knowing. Actually, there are many riggers out there who are only practicing in a very technical way. They don't even open up to a potential intimacy, beauty, and possibility of exploring rope in a soulful way, in a holistic way, in a way that is designed to expand into beautiful realms. So I hope this episode encourages you to dedicate time for both, and then use both skill, your masculine and feminine, your yin and yang, your combination of those two, to fly really high together and to have really enlightening, liberating, beautiful, soul-touching, inspiring experiences when it comes to rope bondage. I wish you the best. If this episode has been beneficial to you, please leave 5 stars, send me a DM. I love to read your feedback, your testimonial. And thank you for listening. Have a great day.